Reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila chapter 1, the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, text 68 to 71. I'll read previous verses, 68. When Rupa Goswami fell down like a road, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and gave him a slap. Then, taking him on his lap, he began to speak to him. "No one knows the purport of my verse," Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. "How could you understand my intention?" Saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed various benediction upon Rupa Goswami, and taking this verse, he later showed it to Svarupa Goswami. Having shown the verse to Svarupa Damodar with great wonder, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked how Rupa Goswami could understand the intentions of his mind. Purport. We had the opportunity to receive a similar blessing from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami when we presented an essay at his birthday ceremony. He was so pleased with the essay that he used to call some of his confidential devotees and show it to them. How could we have understood the intentions of Srila Prabhupada? And of course it would be logically to read the answer by Svarupa Damodar Goswami, which is the next verse. Svarupa kahiyaha janila tamaraman tate jani hoi tamara kripala bhajan. Srila Svarupa Damodar Goswami replied to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "If Rupa Goswami can understand your mind and intentions, he must have your lordship's special benediction." Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarini Vanchakal Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Ajanu lambit bujok nakavadata sankirtanai kapitaro kamalai taksha Vishwambaro dvijavaro yugadharma palavandai jagat priyakaro karunavatara Yantah pravishya mamavachim imam prasuptam Sanjeevayata kila shakti darakswadhamna Anyam shahasta charana shravanat vagadim Prananamo bhagavate purushayadu. Hare Krishna. So today we're reading this section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita where Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explaining to us how Rupa Goswami understood the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because of this, he was able to explain the hearts of, or the feelings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to everyone else. And that's basically the origin, the root of all our movement. Because if Rupa Goswami would not understand the intentions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we would not be able to have access to these innermost feelings. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to show us the path of love, the path of feelings. And he had this amazing feelings in his heart. And his main purpose is, of course, to experience these feelings himself and to show to us how we should experience these feelings. And Rupa Goswami, by explaining this, is showing the path to us. And here Swarup Damodar Goswami says that he could only understand these feelings because he got your special benediction. And Srila Prabhupada, in this regard, hints on the episode from his own life when he wrote an offering to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. It was in 1935, 1 year before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada passed away from this world. And Srila Prabhupada at that time in Bombay, and he was just a grihastha, not actually known to the society of Gaudiya Math. Only a few close friends of Srila Prabhupada knew him. He read his offerings to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wrote a special poem in this connection. And in this poem, one stanza was that absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast removed. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, after some time, was shown this verse, this poem, and the essay, as Prabhupada says here, his offerings, he was extremely pleased, especially by this stanza. And he said, how he could understand the essence of what I am here to teach? How he could capture in these few words the very essence for what I have come? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada wants to say to us that he came to remove this impersonal calamity from our heart, which deprives us the mood of service. Ultimately, what is bhakti? Bhakti is the sincere desire to serve, with the understanding that we are servant at nobody else. And now this sincere desire to serve is completely eclipsed by all other desires. We somehow or other, by this complete maya, misunderstand that the innermost desire of our heart is to serve, and we only can be happy if we serve. And if we don't serve, there is no chance for us to be happy, because we are not fulfilling and not following our nature. Our nature is the servant. And therefore, this impersonalism, which clouds this understanding, which clearly says, you're God. Forget about all these things. Even if you have to serve, this is just a pretension, just for the time being. You're serving only to become God. It's like this in this material world. People are serving for what? To become promoted. They always say, you know, I'm the servant. You know, give your votes to me. And then I will show how I serve. You will see. You know, I will rule and exercise my lording over propensities over you. But for the time being, I'm serving. So in the same way, the same philosophy is there in Mayavad. Yes, yes, bhakti is very good, very good, very good. Very good. Bhakti, very good. Do bhakti, and then you become the Lord. Just for the time being, it's no harm to pretend that you're a servant, then you will become the Lord. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he was very pleased and amazed. And actually what Srila Prabhupada wants to say in this purport, that he received a special benediction. As much as Srila Rupa Goswami could only understand the innermost intentions of the Lord because he has received special mercy, in the similar way, Prabhupada wants to say that I know the heart of my master. I know the heart of my eternal master, my guru, and therefore I was able to fulfill his desire. Only because I knew this desire very closely in my heart, only because of this, and because of his mercy only. Somebody may say that Srila Prabhupada is proud here, but Srila Prabhupada is actually saying that whatever I have done only because I received mercy of Srila Prabhupada, his Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, and Lord Krishna. And that's actually the essence of what we have to learn. And in Ramayana, and because we are celebrating Lord Rama, I will tell something in connection with this. In Ramayana, Lord Ram himself, he celebrates Hanuman. When Hanuman comes back from Lanka with good news that he finally found Sita. It's again, it's very interesting because from the very beginning, when Lord Ram was in Kishkinda, and nobody knew where Sita was, and then Sugriva sent four parties of monkeys in four directions. He said to one party, you go to north, another party went to east, another party went to west, and then Hanuman with Angada was sent to the south. And Lord Chaitanya, Lord Ram, he called Hanuman to himself, and he said, I know, only you will find Sita. Because you're so sincere servant. Only you can find Sita. Nobody else can find Sita. Nobody else can fulfill the desire of mine to find Sita and ultimately to help us to reunite. And therefore, Lord Ram gave him the special ring. And he said, when you see Sita, you will give her this ring and she will understand that you are my envoy, my messenger. And when Hanuman came back from Lanka, being successful in his mission, Lord Ram was so pleased. He was crying. He was embracing Hanuman and crying. And he's saying, how you could do it? And of course, Hanuman would say, because of your mercy. That's the relationship between the Lord and the Master, then the Master and the servant. You know, the Master is giving the benediction and the servant is sincerely trying to fulfill the desire of his master. And in this way, it becomes a very joyful relationship. And at that time, Lord Ram said that there are three kinds of servants. He said there is Kanishta Dasa, you know, low-grade servant, third-class servant. And the third-class servant, you tell him something and he will think a little bit, scratch in his head, and he says, oh, let's wait a little bit. Maybe it's not necessary to do it. You know, we all know, sometimes it works, you know. Just wait a little bit, and then you don't have to do it. So this is the third-class servant. He's doing it, or maybe he's doing it, but grudgingly, not willingly. He doesn't really have the desire to serve. He's just servant ex officio. He just calls himself servant because it's beneficial for himself. I'm Dasa, you know. I have my name. I got my name. Look at me. I am Dasa. Lord Ram says the second class servant, when the master tells him something, he does it. And he does it willingly. It's a good servant, but he's still second grade. And he says to Hanuman, but there is first class servant. That a first-class servant, he does something which what his master wants without master saying this. The master doesn't give him any order. And he runs and does it and comes to his master and says, and master says, how did you know what I wanted? I myself didn't know. You know, Hanuman went to Lanka and he found Sita. And by the way, he burned the whole Lanka. And he reported it to Lord Ram. Yeah. You didn't tell me. You only told me to find Sita. But I also burned Lanka. And Lord Ram said, how did you understand that I wanted this? You know, without me saying this. But the idea is very deep behind this. If you meditate constantly, then this understanding comes, and it's, in a sense, a mystical process. If you have the desire to please the Lord, then the Lord will give you the understanding how to please Him. And sometimes it's not easy. And we see, even in Srimad Bhagavatam, how the Lord tests His devotee. It's actually the crucial test whether the devotee is capable of understanding the innermost desire of the Lord. Practically, the beginning of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, Jaya Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Jaya Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jaya Shri Shri Gaur Nitaya ki, Jaya. So, in the very beginning of the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Sutta Goswami starts narrating about Srimad Bhagavatam, practically the very first story about Lord Krishna, when Lord Krishna first appears on the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, is the test. How Krishna tests his servant Arjuna. He puts Arjuna in a very bewildering situation. He says, you kill Ashwatthama. And then Draupadi says, no, don't kill Ashwatthama. And Yudhishthira says, don't kill Ashwatthama. And of course, Bhima is there and says, kill him, kill him, kill him. And then the twins, they say, you know, no, better not kill him. So, and then Krishna looks at Arjuna and says, now you have to fulfill everyone's desire. Kill him and not kill him. And he looks at Arjuna. And but the whole intention is that to show the glories of Arjuna. To show how Arjuna, how the real devotee can understand the heart of the Lord, can understand the intentions of the Lord. And Arjuna, of course, brilliantly fulfills the desires of the Lord by killing and not killing Ashwatthama, by cutting the jewel from his head and depriving him from all his power, but at the same time not killing him physically and not leaving his widowed mother without son, Kripi, according to the desire of Draupadi. But again, the point is that the whole idea of bhakti is to understand the heart of the Lord. The whole idea of bhakti is not to do something externally, but to do something internally. Because you may do something externally, which may be externally according to whatever, but if you don't understand the desire, the innermost desire of the Lord or your master or your spiritual master, your guru, you will make mistake. And you will even make offenses. And this is a great art. And this is what we're supposed to do, to tune up our mind in such a way that we will understand what is going on in the heart of other people. To make us so sensitive that we will be able to understand the desires of other people and desires of the Lord first and foremost, of course. And how to do this? This is not easy, and I would humbly say this, connecting this whole narration with Lord Ram's pastimes, that before we will be able to understand the desire of the Lord, we have to understand our own desires. It's not possible for us to understand somebody else's desires if we don't understand our desires. And oftentimes people don't understand what do they want. And they, you know, they're in a hurry to please others. And in this suicidal course of pleasing others without understanding what they want. They basically make offenses and they are getting lost. Therefore, one very important part of Vedic teachings and a very important part of teachings of Lord Ram in Ramayana is you understand who you are and act accordingly. You understand very clearly what is your nature and act accordingly, not act according to your whims, to the karma. You know, karma is not our desire. Karma is something superficial. The real Vedic teachings is to understand what is your real desire. You have to understand this, and you can only understand this if you purify your nature. If you rectify your nature and if you develop your nature, then you will understand your dharma, the real desire which you have. Otherwise, you will be doomed in the sense that you will always fulfill your whims, karma, lust. You will be driven by this superficial desire and you will try to find happiness in this regard. It's very interesting because when I was thinking about this particular verse and purport of Srila Prabhupada, I remembered how Srila Prabhupada proudly would describe to his disciples how his father would fulfill his desires. When he was just a small boy, his father, and Prabhupada with tears in his eyes, would describe how his father was really obedient to his desires. Prabhupada once told that, you know, he loved kachoris very much. So much so that his nickname was Kachori Mukh. Someone who always has kachori next to his mouth. So, and he said, once I, and his mother was sometimes annoyed because he would, you know, he would like to have kachoris every time of the day, you know. Sometimes before going to bed, he would ask mother, give me kachoris. And mother was annoyed. And mother would send him to bed and said, you know, you go to sleep, no kachoris tonight. So he said, once I was demanding kachoris at night and mother sent me to bed and I started sleeping and my father came back home. And he asked mother what happened, and mother said, you know, this Abhay, he was demanding kachoris, and I sent him to sleep. He said, no, it's not good. And he woke me up, and he personally made kachoris for myself and fed me with these kachoris. And the next episode, which Prabhupada, again, very proudly describes, he said that once I was, you know, we were going to the market and I saw some, you know, toy gun. And I started demanding, father, buy a gun for me. And father didn't want to buy a gun. And Srila Prabhupada said, then I lay down on the earth and I started crying. And father bought me this toy gun and I said, no, second one too. And father asked, why do you want second one? He said, because I have two arms, one in one hand, another is in another hand. And Prabhupada was saying this. Why he was saying this? Because it's important, especially when the child is little, not to, you know, really kind of, you know, push him down. He has to be conscious what he really wants. And that starts from the childhood. Of course, at one point you will have to explain to him that you have to fulfill your duties and take responsibilities. But in the beginning, if you do this to the child will actually lose himself. If you will tell prematurely to the child, you're not supposed to, you know, have this desire, it's not so good. You will actually spoil the life of this child, and the child will never understand. He will always think that my desires are something wrong, and he will not discover his real desires. He will not discover his nature. That's why Prabhupada said, and that's why Prabhupada in this famous letter to Karandara, he says, the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to bring up independently thoughtful people. It sometimes sounds like a contradiction. How is that? We're supposed to be dependent and all of a sudden independently minded people. But only because actually we can really serve if we are independently minded. If we are dependent, if we don't know our own desires, we will never be able to serve. We will pretend that we serve. It will be just a disguise. We will take this guise of a servant. We will show that I'm serving. And inside we will desire something else, and ultimately we will be confused. That's exactly why Lord Krishna didn't approve. That's exactly what was worry of Arjuna before the battle of Kurukshetra. He said that people will be Varna Sankara. And Varna Sankara people, they don't know what they want. And because they don't know what they want, they don't have clear-cut nature. And because they don't know their nature, they will do all kinds of nonsense. Just to, you know, to, because they were overwhelmed by this karma. So it's very interesting to, I wanted to describe one, very instructive Leela from Ramayana in this regard, how Lord Ram teaches this. It's very interesting. We really have to understand our own desire first and our own nature, then only we will be able to serve. If we don't understand, again, I will repeat this because it's so important to drive this point. If we don't understand our nature, we don't really serve and we don't develop love. Therefore, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this famous verse, Shriyan Svadharma Vigunah, Paradharma Svanushtitah, Svadharma Nidanam Shriyah, Paradharma Bhayavahah. It's very dangerous to imitate others. It's not beneficial. It's very dangerous if you try to imitate others. If you are not really doing what you desiring, and if you're doing something else, that's what means imitation. That's actually manifestation of envy. And, you know, there is a very subtle difference in this regard. When we're doing something which we're not supposed to do, which is not according to our nature, it's envy. It's the manifestation of envy. We're envious of somebody else. We're envious of his success, of his position, or whatever, and we try to do what he's supposed to do instead of being happy to do what we want. And again, we can only be real servant if we understand that our real desire is to serve. If we're only pretending to serve, then we're just envious. We're manifesting our envy by trying to serve. If we don't really understand that I want to serve, that this is my desire to serve. So in this regard, there is a very interesting and instructive story, one dialogue from Ramayana, where Sita was worried. When they were living in Dandakaranya, when they just came to Dandakaranya, then the sages of Dandakaranya, who were harassed by the demons, they asked Lord Ram to protect them from this harassment. And Lord Ram very proudly declared, you know, of course, I'm here to protect you. And he took his bow and arrow, and he showed them this bow and arrow, and he said, don't worry. You do your duty. You do what you are supposed to do. You are sages. You are not supposed to do. You are not supposed to fight with all these demons. I will take care of these Rakshasas. And Sita, she became concerned. She didn't say it immediately. For some time she was contemplating over this concern, but she was a little anxious. And ultimately, when she found an opportune moment, she said to Lord Ram, "I want to share with you my worry, which is eating up my heart. You promised to all these sages that you will protect them, but how is it proper? We are in the forest. We are supposed to be hermits ourselves. How is it proper that you keep this bow and arrow with you? You know, you are clad in tree bark. You have matted hairs. It means you're supposed to do austerities. You're not supposed to kill anyone. Why do you need this bow and arrow? Put this bow and arrow somewhere. You know, when 14 years will pass, you will take this bow and arrow." And she said, very intelligently, she said that the last karma manifests in three ways. There are three basic ways how the lust or whimsical desires manifest in our heart. She says the first way is when the person speaks lie. When you speak lie, basically it means, why you're speaking lie? You want to fulfill some of your desires. You know this desires is not lawful. And again, while speaking lie, you're depriving yourself of understanding yourself. To understand yourself, you have to be truthful. Then only you will understand your true self. So this is one first and very gross manifestation of calm. And we know, you know, that oftentimes we say lie. Why do we say lie? Because we want something. We want something which is not really proper. So then she says, of course, then another gross manifestation of lust when somebody is lusty of others' wives and have this illicit connection with other women. She says that's the second manifestation of lust or karma. And then there is a third manifestation of karma when you are envious of somebody or when you have enmity of somebody without a reason. When you become angry at somebody without reason. When you start punishing somebody without, you know, reciprocating to his or whatever. When you have this anger which is not really... And we know when we are lusty and our lust is suppressed, how does it manifest? It manifests as anger. Anger without serious reason. Anger in itself is not bad, but anger without serious reason is very bad. It's detrimental. It's manifestation of lust. And she says, my dear Lord, Sita Devi says, my dear Lord, the first two are completely foreign to your nature. You will never speak lie. I know this for sure. You will never look at other women. That I have no doubt about it. But how is that proper that you want to punish some rakshasas, even though they may not be inimical to you? How is that proper that you want to kill all these rakshasas and you promise this to... This is... You're not supposed to do this. You know, Bharata, he is the king. Let Bharata does this. You know, we're not supposed to do this. And she says, let me tell you one instructive story from the past. She said there was one hermit in the forest and he was doing severe austerities and he was so pure-hearted that ultimately, as it is common, Lord Indra became worried. What will happen if this ascetic will become so powerful? What I will do then? And then Lord Indra, he developed a very clever trick. Lord Indra came in disguise, and he came to this hermit and he said, here is my very valuable and precious sword, stabbed with, you know, jewels. She said, I have to take care of, you know, there is a call of nature, and I cannot really contaminate this precious sword by going with my sword to answer the call of nature. You please keep this for some time. I will come back. I will soon be back. And this hermit, you know, hesitant, with hesitation, he took this sword and he was keeping this sword and he was, you know, he has nothing to do with the sword, but he still keeps. And Indra, of course, disappeared. And this ascetic, he looked at this sword and he wants to try it. And he, the sword was Lord Indra's sword. It's a powerful sword. He cuts a tree. And it works, you know. Oh, very nice sword. And he cuts stone. And the sword is so strong that it cuts the stone. And then he starts cutting left and right. And then he develops some taste for cutting. And then he cuts the heads of tigers and lions and goes around and all his, you know, austerity went down the tube, you know. he doesn't know anything. He's just happy, misusing his power. What Sita wants to say, that very subtle manifestation of karma lust is the misuse of, abuse of power. When we misuse the power which we have, or when we do something which is actually not according to what we're supposed to do. And this is the manifestation of karma desire. And the answer of Lord Ram is brilliant. Of course, the question is brilliant itself. Sita Devi explains this whole problem, which we all have for us. And Lord Ram, he was very pleased by this story and by her concern. And he said, you're right, my dear wife. You're absolutely right. If somebody is misusing his power or, you know, doing something which is against his dharma, this is very bad and this is the manifestation of calm indeed. But this is not the case of me. He said, I'm a kshatriya. And even though I'm living like a hermit, I'm still a kshatriya. That dress which I have does not change my nature. I will follow my nature, and please don't worry about me. I will only do it as much as it is necessary. I will not abuse my power because kshatriya is supposed to protect other people, and I will only use my power to protect other people. I will not use it otherwise. Don't worry about me. I know who I am. I will not do something which is against my nature. So the question was brilliant. The answer was also brilliant. We have our nature, and the dress doesn't change our nature. We still have the nature. We still have to act according to our nature. And then only we will be able to develop our higher nature, our real nature, the nature of service. There is another little story from Ramayana where, again, the same point is described in a beautiful way. It also happened in the same Dandakaranya forest. That once Sita and Ram and Lakshman, and they were sitting there, you know, and conversing with each other, and all of a sudden Sita started crying. She started frantically crying, and they were so absorbed in this conversation, they couldn't understand what's going on. And they, Ram and Lakshman looked up and they saw huge Rakshasa. This Rakshasa was huge. Somehow rather stealthily, he came to them and he grabbed Sita. And Sita was paralyzed by horror. Ram was shocked, and Lakshman was shocked, And this demon, he was Rakshasa. He was as high as an elephant. Huge size. And he had a trident. And there was a lion, and a tiger, and four or five wolves in his trident. And he was, you know, and this trident was, you know, smeared with blood. And Lord Ram asked him, "Who you are? Who are you?" And he said, "My name is Virada." It's a very telling name. Virada means, Radha means what? Radha means love, yeah. Radha means love. The highest manifestation of love. Virada means somebody who is deprived of love. Somebody who doesn't have love in his heart. So he says, very proudly he says, "My name is Virada. And I'm living here and I'm killing everyone left and right. And now I want to kill you because you are hypocrites." This demon says to Lord Ram, "You're a hypocrite. You're dressed like an ascetic. You have matted hair and you have woman with you. You're not deserve to enjoy this woman. I will enjoy this woman. And don't worry about my size. I will bring my to the proper size to enjoy her. Don't worry about this. I can do this." So, and you have this bow and arrow, and I will punish you now. And and Lord Ram starts shooting the arrows in him, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You know, the arrows pierce his body, and then he kind of, you know, he tenses his muscles, and all the arrows, they just, you know, they're out of his body. He cannot do anything. And then this Virada, he starts laughing. He said, "I got a benediction that you cannot kill me by any weapon. You just cannot kill me by any weapon." So anyway, Lord Ram cuts his hand and another hand, and still it doesn't work. Without hands, he's just rushing towards them with his mouth wide open and trying to eat them, you know, without hands, smeared with blood. He's rushing to eat them, and Sita is crying frantically. You know, don't touch them. Sita is in complete shock. And then Lord Ram cuts his legs. And still, he doesn't have his hands. He doesn't have his legs. And he's just crawling and trying to eat them still. And then Lord Ram started kicking him and kicking him and kicking. And he still doesn't die. And then ultimately, Lord Ram puts his lotus feet on his throat. And he pushes his throat. And all of a sudden, this demon who was so arrogant before, and he was blaspheming Lord Ram and, you know, calling him names and saying this and that, with changed voice, he says, "Oh, thank you very much. Now I realized who you are. You're my Lord." Because, you know, if the Lord Ram puts his feet on your head, you will probably realize who you are. There is a good chance for it. So he said, "Thank you very much. Now I realize who I am. I am actually Gandharva." And it's a very interesting and instructive story for us. And this Gandharva, former Gandharva, he tells his story. He tells that I was a Gandharva, and I was a servant of Kuvera. My name was Tumburu, and I was serving Kuvera. And once I was sent with a mission to the forest, and I saw Apsara Rambha. Rambha was actually daughter-in-law of Kuvera. And I was overwhelmed by lust. And I was looking at her, and I couldn't take my eyes from her. I was so, you know, attached to her. And therefore I came late. And Kuvera understood this. Kuvera understood what happened. And he cursed me. And he said, because, please listen very carefully, because this is the whole, you know, the teachings of this story is in this explanation. Kuvera said, because you violated the laws of God. You actually, you have this envy towards God. And therefore, I curse you to forget your nature. Because you wanted to violate, to break the laws of God, you will forget your nature and you will do it freely. You will manifest this propensity in your heart very freely, and you will do whatever you like, and you will kill others, and do whatever you like. And this Gandharva, when he hears this, he becomes really upset, and he says, please forgive me, I didn't want it to do, and this and that. And Kuvera becomes little merciful, and he says, after some time, the Lord himself will come to you, and he will bring you to senses. He will... because of his mercy, you will understand your own nature, and then you will return to your position. So he said, for all these years, I was doing something, you know, very whimsically. I was killing everyone left and right, and, you know, I was enjoying this. I thought I was enjoying this. But now, because you have come to me, and you put your lotus feet on my head, I realized my own nature. And now I realized I'm your servant and only your servant. And thank you very much for this. So again, this is a very important point that, you know, Lord Ram comes. What is the idea of his coming? He is teaching us Dharma. And he says, if we follow Dharma, we will ultimately understand in reality who we are. And at the end of the day, we will understand our most important desire, the desire to serve. And in this way, the love will awaken in our heart. When we don't follow our nature, when we act against our nature, there is no question of love coming to our heart. Then we will... ultimately, we will break the laws of God because our nature is given to us by God, and we will be going further and further away from God. And the way to understand our nature is to fulfill our duties according to the laws of God, and ultimately, this nature will be very clearly established, and by clearly establishing our nature, we will develop the service attitude, and together with the service attitude, we will develop love. So that's the whole idea and the whole mission of Lord Ram to drive home this point that please act according to your nature. Understand your nature. And he shows himself what does it mean. What does it mean to be Kshatriya? Sita Devi shows what does it mean to be a wife, what does it mean to be a woman. You know, Lakshman shows what does it mean to be a servant, to be a brother. He shows what does it mean, Lord Ram shows what does it mean to be a son, how one has to behave. The father is always father, mother is always mother. Kaikeya is always my mother. He would never say, never even hint anything bad about Kaikeya. When anyone would tell something bad to him about Kaikeya, he would stop this person. He said, she's my mother, and I will respect her. Always respect her. So he's teaching us this idea that ultimately we will only in this way we will only be able to develop the service attitude, and together with service attitude we will develop love. You know, sometimes we think, do I have a few minutes because it's already late? Huh? Okay. So. Something little more I wanted to tell in this regard, that sometimes without understanding who we are, again, the point which I want to say, the whole idea of bhakti is to understand what Lord wants. But to understand what He wants, we first have to understand what we want. To understand what we want, we have to understand who we are. And for that, we have to really work hard to rectify our nature, to act according to our nature. And if we do, if we try to serve prematurely without understanding who we are, then our service will become a pretense. In modern psychology, there is a very important concept of codependent people. Codependent people are people who lived for a long time with other people who are dependent on some, you know, they are either psychologically are not correct, or they're dependent on some substances, drug addicts or alcoholics. And those people who live with this people who are dependent on others, they become codependent. And one of the most important signs of codependency is that they always try to please others. This oftentimes, and according to modern psychologists, it's a psychological disorder when you're codependent. And your psychological disorder manifests in a very peculiar way. You don't think about yourself. You always try to please others. And sometimes these codependent people think that we are pure devotees. It's not. It's a psychological disorder. So please try to understand this subtle difference. These codependent people, they don't know what they want. They only want that the other person who is so irrational and so cruel sometimes toward them and, you know, completely mad, they only want to please him by all means. And therefore, they will do whatever possible just to please him without understanding what he really needs. Again, service, if I do what somebody else wants and what somebody else really needs. Service doesn't want that I fulfill the whimsical desires of others, that I become the servant of the lust of other people. And this codependency means I just want to please them by all means. Without just because let them be peaceful. If they need another bottle of vodka, I will bring them a bottle of vodka. Let them be happy. So that's what they will do. But this is not service. And the motivation is not correct. The motivation which these people have is just not to serve others, but, you know, to not to be disturbed themselves. And they don't really understand what they want, because they're so much foreign to their own nature and their own desires. So that's a great mistake, because sometimes I've seen it, how devotees, they're trying to please others without understanding their own nature and betraying their own nature. We can only serve others and really please others and please the Lord if we act according to our nature. And if we act according to our nature, then whatever we do is the service. It's ultimately the service. And then we stand strongly. If we only try to please and please and please and please others, let them be pleased. Let them go to hell and be pleased. With this attitude, let them do whatever they like, but, you know, let them be a little peaceful. It's not service. It's not service. It's not beneficial to us. It's not beneficial to others. And therefore, this point of following our nature is so important, because by following our nature, we can understand who we are, we can understand what we want, and by the dint of understanding who we are and being the wholesome person, being the developing integrity in this way, we will be able to understand the integrity of others and the real desires of others, and we will be able to serve others. And that's what Prabhupada was not trying to please others. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he definitely didn't try to please others. He will say words which were very shocking sometimes to others, but he knew this is beneficial for other people. There is a subtle difference of trying to, you know, by all means, by hook and by crook, to please others and to serve others. You know, service is a very grave responsibility, and to have to really fulfill this responsibility and to do real service, one has to be true to himself. This is important. And therefore, Krishna doesn't start Bhagavad Gita in speaking with Arjuna by saying, you know, seva karo. Who you think you are? Just do your seva. I will order you, do this. No, he said, please first understand who you are. First understand who you are. And then whatever you'll do, you will do correctly. If you don't understand who you are, whatever you'll do will be a mistake. And now you don't understand who you are. Now you're completely bewildered about yourself. So we can only serve if we understand who we are. And when we understand who we are, we will understand. Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayar Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Нахам випро начанарапатих напивайся на шудра, нахам варни начат грихапатир, наванастоя тирва, кинту проди никила парамананда, пурнам ритат бер, гопи бартур пада камала эрдаса даса анудаса. So we will be able to be established in our real identity if we establish our identity, if we know that this is important. And then by the means of establishing our identity, we will be able to execute our dharma or execute our duties properly, and the love will come as a result of this. So this is a few thoughts which came to me when I was thinking about this episode, how Prabhupada was saying this. This has also happened to me. I knew the heart of my master. Why I knew the heart of my master? Because I was servant. Why I was servant? Because I knew who I am, and I knew that it's needed, that this is my nature to serve. And I was serving willingly, not because I just wanted to please by all means. There is this difference. This is what I wanted to say. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.